even when I cannot see. Spirit is leading me, and I know I've got the victory. Hey, got it.
Yeah.
I got the
victory.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah. Victory.
I got the God has got a plan. So even in your darkest night, hold on to the light. And please know, oh, you've got the victory. Hey, I got the victory. I got it.
Good morning, heart and soul.
Good morning.
And happy Women's History Month.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I worked so hard on those February guides that I needed a little more February. I was like, no, it can't be over yet. I need some more. And so what's true is that women of all origins show up in everything. Our fingerprints, our heart prints are on everything. The blessing of it, the birthing of it, the caretaking of it, the brilliance, the love, the compassion, the empathy, all of that is imprinted on all of life. So I realize I can keep it going. So I want to acknowledge Reverend Jack, who was here last week and kicked off our first week of women's history, but period. And I'm also grateful for his acknowledgement of me. Today, what I know is that, just as I was getting ready, by the time I put this wrap on, I moved from the mirror and my mama was there. And so I am dedicating today, the second Sunday of Women's History, to my mother. And in case you're wondering, what does she look like? This. This right here. This is my mother bringing the message today. Yes, yes, yes indeed. So I want to do a shout out to our beautification team who has curated our Black history and our women's history. And what I love about them is that they are tireless in that every week through Black History and every week through Women's History, they have curated a new display. So we got a little mini museum thing happening here. And I just want you to share some love with them and acknowledge them through the process. So what we know for sure is that this is an adventure in faith. You know, I'm standing up here as my mama, so you know I'm on an adventure. There is that. But our adventure in faith is also acknowledging our intention to manifest more in 24. Will you say that with me? Manifest more in 24. And the way we know that that is not only possible, but certain, is because this stuff works. Say that, please, acknowledging this stuff works. And what we're talking about is the principles work, but only if you work them. You understand the connection. The principle is always working. The question is, are you in there working with the principle, or are you working against it? I'm going to talk about working with it because I've had enough time and energy over the past 2 years of working against it, of trying to bargain with the divine and see if I couldn't just do it my way, with which case it would repeatedly say, haven't you had enough of that? In which case I apparently would reply, not yet, but I got it now. So we are celebrating even now, but specifically in 2 weeks on Palm Sunday, on March 24th, we're celebrating Valerie Joy Fidmott. Yes, we are. And we're celebrating because when we declare manifesting more in 24, you know, sometimes we act like we didn't declare that. And what we declare it, we declare that we're on an adventure in faith. We declare that this stuff works. We declare that we are manifesting more and different. And then we mad when it's different. And so Valerie Joy has accepted a position at the Centers for Spiritual Living San Jose as the minister of music there. So we are literally, Valerie Joy, we are cheering you on. Even if, now let's be clear, we got our own feelings. But because we know we believe in manifesting more and that this stuff works, we are working that out for ourselves. Yes? We're working that out for ourselves and we're putting our attention on celebrating you in all and all that you have contributed, all you be and do for heart and soul, and what we know, because you have said it, is that you'll continue to do so. And so we love Valerie Joy. And if you're willing to support the planning of the celebration and contributing in that way, then please see Valda and Ernestine, and or Ernestine. Y'all raise your hands and let the people know who you are so you can, good. So look, it seems to me that the theme that the practitioners are launching on Monday is, the March theme is, that's how we've never done it. It seems so fitting, doesn't it? Because there's so much change. There's change here at Heart and Soul. There is change in the world. There's change in my life. There is simply change. And so to declare an awareness that that's how we've never done it. We ain't never done it the way we're getting ready to do it. Is this making sense? That we sometimes have to just, it's not that we don't have feelings about, well, now look, this is how kind of forked tongue and kind of two-faced we can be. We can be in the situation circumstance, hating it, praying every day for the change, for this, Lord, just get me out of this, and I'll just do anything if you get me out of this. And then the door opens and you're out and you're like, ah, why do I have to go now? Now you Is any of that familiar? Yes. Then I'm talking to my people. So this idea that that's how we've never done it, that that can be a thing that we can say to ourselves, let's say that. That's how we've never done it. So we're simply affirming that in a moment of change and discomfort, just to affirm that's how we've never done it. That's the only reason I'm tripping. Do you see what we're saying? The only reason I'm tripping is because that's how I've never done it. I ain't never done it. And I see, if it was the same old, you'd be all right with it till the morning. Then you'd be mad again because you'd realize you did the same old. But instead, we're affirming, beginning now, that's how I've never done it. I've never forgiven so quickly. I've never accepted so readily. I've never trusted so completely. I've never been willing so deeply. We're going to need a nap after this. Because we get ready to work it out, yes? Yes, I've never done it like this before. The affirmation they offer us, I release my... Do we have the... Can we do the thing? Can we put that up? I know I'm... The cha-cha is just all, but we just going to do another little step with it. That's all. Here we go. They're going to get us there for the affirmation, because I'd love for us to affirm it together. Together we say, I release my need to figure it out. Pause. That right there. We're not going to run over that like that didn't happen. I release, because see, you already got some things scheduled to figure out. You already have some stuff in queue that you're not understanding, and you're not willing to have it play out in your life until you understand it. Just like you haven't already been instructed to not lean on your own understanding. You already scheduled some figuring it out time, some getting it clear before you can accept. This is here to straighten some of that out. Go and get your cameras out. Go and get your little cameras out and get a little shot of the, because we're going to need this, yes? Okay. We're going to start at the beginning because we're going to get this in. I release my need to figure it out. And I invite inner guidance. What? Instead of figuring it out, what you gonna do? Invite inner guidance to lead me into new territory. You better ask somebody, because that's what I've come today to talk about. So look, at Heart and Soul, Mother Harriet Tubman is our matron saint. And today, March 10th, is officially Harriet Tubman Day. So look, here's what I want to do. I want to establish, first of all, that I am never encouraging you to compare yourself to someone else. Total waste of time and energy will never end well. Okay? It's a slippery slope, always. So not as a comparison, but here's what I want you to think about, is what inspires or empowers you about Mother Harriet? When you think about Mother Harriet and whatever it is you know about her, and I'm gonna share some things to either enlighten or remind, depending upon where you are on the continuum of I know all things about Mother Harriet. So look, begin with, what is it that inspires you? Why do you think we have a portrait of that size? Because that's pretty much life size for her. That's like a life-size portrait of Mother Harriet. Why would we do that? What does that mean to you? Have you even noticed that it's here? And so why do you think we would have that? Just be aware of that. And then I want to challenge you. Here's the challenge. How can you activate whatever it is that inspires you or empowers you around about her, how can you activate that in your living? Like for me, I often, you know, I'm in my little whiny about whatever happened. And I'm just like, I'm devastated. And I just can't believe that that happened to me. And then I think about Mother Harriet. Be like, girl, you better straighten. Some of y'all recognize these words. You better fix your face. I know you're not crying. I know you're not whining about whatever that was. So not comparing, but just having an awareness that this little stuff, and in my, excuse me. In my life, particularly the past 2 years, have been so difficult that there were those times that I had more questions than I had even the inkling of answers. Very painful, heartbroken time. And still, whenever I thought about Mother Harriet, I sensed grace. I sensed that if she could, then I'm sure I can do something more. If she did, and she did, if she did that, let me talk about her some, but here's the thing. I want you thinking about, how do you activate this awareness in your own way, in your own life? How do you breathe life into it? You're not going to be her, but you're going to learn from that. Can we?
Yes.
Can we maybe just have her as a mentor coach? Yes. Just as an awareness. Let me look at how Mother Harriet did this thing. And the parts you don't know, make it up. Don't get stuck. Like you have to have all the data. Fill it in. Fill in the blank yourself so that you can keep moving because you understand the energetic presence. I know you can get there. So as an icon for me, she's an icon, a compelling representation of love and faith and courage and perseverance and commitment. She was doing the thing in a time when see, I'm often amazed. I don't understand it, but I'm not even going to try. This idea to be enslaved in a time and place where that was the lay of the land, that was the law of the land, that was simply how it was. Now, I need you to translate this as we go along, because this is a different time. As similar as it may seem sometimes, it's a different time. We're not in the 1800s. Okay? And I need you to come go with me. Don't get stuck. Don't get stuck in a place where you got to be right about this. Because we're really not in the 1800s. Wherever the similarities may lie, let's get clear, we're not in the 1800s. So look, she is, though. And all of the signs and symbols, the law, the language, the meaning, the common parlance, everything that she heard would reinforce that. Can I just say sookie, sookie? Because she didn't buy it. There was something in her. Something in her, something within her knew something else. I'm talking to you not about the 1800s. I'm talking about you about today. I'm talking to you about tomorrow and the day after. That it looks like it's all set. It looks like it's against you. It looks like there's no way you possibly could. Come on, Mother Harriet, help a sister out right now.
so that we can see that there is something within each of us. There's nothing that we teach or endeavor to practice that says that there are those who are so different that we have no possibility of ever being and living in a similar way, from a similar awareness of freedom. There was nobody who was saying, girl, you free, don't worry about it. Except that within her being, there clearly was something, yes? Okay, so she's, pardon me, she's born Araminta, called Minty Ross, to enslaved parents in 1822. We don't know what date, we don't have a month, we don't have any of that. We know it's 1822 because we can do a little arithmetic when other things come up later, okay? I'm just going to take you through a few little things here. So some of the work, it was the family who enslaved her mother hired Harriet out to do work, including caring for children, checking muskrat traps. Any of y'all done any of that? Don't worry about it. Just imagine it. Don't Google it. Just imagine it. And then see if you couldn't bring yourself from the muskrat trap cleaning to freedom. You see what I'm saying? Somewhere in your life, there's some muskrat trap cleaning. Don't worry about what Google says that is. You already doing it. Oh, we gonna act like that's not so. Y'all gonna get quiet and act like not me. In our lives, at an individual level, we are cleaning muskrat traps and complaining about it. All right, I'm just trying to paint a picture here. I need you to go with me. She's doing field and forest work, driving oxen, plowing, and hauling logs. Now, see, when I read that, because I know the rest of the story, that I know how she got to be right here as the portrait. I know that all of that served her. I need you to hear me, because your muskrat trap cleaning that you're doing right now, that's serving you in a way. You just have to decide for how long. Is it? Thank you. It's making sense to me and you, Tammy. Thank you. All right. I need somebody with me along the way here. So look, she suffered a traumatic head injury and almost died as a young girl. Now, for some, see, I'm painting a picture so that you can see all of the invitations to drop out. All, because she got all the reasons to not leave. All of the reasons to not succeed, all of the reasons that her vision cannot be realized, all of the reasons why this ain't gonna work. Because I don't know if there are two people in this room right now who would have left for freedom with somebody who had a brain injury. Come on, tell the truth about who we are. We'd be like, Harriet. I would go. But look, what did the doctor say on your last checkup? Are they meds? What meds they give you? Because you know how we are. Don't act like this isn't us. We would not just go with Sister Harriet. We'd be like, Harriet, the one with the brain injury? You going with, because there's so many issues. She's only, the cutout that we have of Mother Harriet right out here, that's life size. So she's only 5 feet tall. Notice how I put my hand down here. Take that part in, because I'm not. So she's only like 5 feet tall, so you'd be like, you go with little bitty Harriet with the brain injury. You know how we are. You know how we are. Because we are not seeing to the core of the situation. We're looking with our human eyes. We're scaling it up. What did we say? We've never done it like this before. I never trusted beyond appearances, because that's what the lesson is. It's how are we going to trust beyond appearances? The appearance of whatever messes us up, upsets us, worries us, it's the appearance of that that blows us. The opportunity is to trust beyond that. So she never learned. So you going with illiterate, brain injury, 5 feet tall or less, Harriet? Have you lost your mind? Yes, I have. I have. And not trying to get that one back. So she married John Tubman. Look here, in about 1844, it says. So when she married him, she changed her name. Around 1844, she changed her name from Araminta to Harriet. Now, Harriet was her mother's name as well. So she became, when she married him, Harriet Tubman. She's about 21 or 22 years old. You know, when something happens in your life, you get a new name. I mean, biblically speaking. And your name is your nature. So see, what I'm reading between the lines here is there's a nature change. She didn't have to change her name to Harriet. She became Harriet Tubman, and Harriet Tubman had never been enslaved. You better. Y'all don't even understand. I am wasting my time up here with you. Now, look, I'm just trying to work this out. Harriet Tubman had never been enslaved. In 1844, now Minty had been enslaved. Y'all, Lynn got it. Okay. So look, 1844, name change. New nature. 1849, she escapes. Y'all better watch. The newness of, see, we never done it like this before. You've been going by your old name, by your old nature, your old identity, bringing your old identity and nature to your new situations, to the new opportunities. Your old nature is greeting your new opportunity, looking at it like it looked at everything else. Okay. All right. So it took her about 5 years. Okay. So she escapes, largely traveling alone. What? The little brain damage one? They couldn't read nor write. Mostly under cover of dark. After she successfully escaped, we know this, she spent more than 10 years making secret return trips to Maryland to help her friends and family escape. The one with the brain injury. The one that couldn't read or write and wasn't big enough to carry nobody. All of the things we think would have to happen, but look what? We'd never done it like this before. Never been done by this before. With each trip, she risked her life. We know that. Her last rescue mission was in 1860. She was about 38 years old. But watch this. So in 1849, when she escapes to Philadelphia, she is she's an operator on the Underground Railroad, a secret network of, you know what it is. She courageously returned about 13 times, some say 10 to 13 over those years, to rescue her parents, brothers, family members, and friends, guiding them. By 1860, she had earned the nickname of Moses for liberating so many enslaved people. So here on the slide is the reward. There's a $300 reward, and it's $100 for three people. So she took Harry, who is 19 years old. She took Ben, who's about 25, and she's Minty. And here we know she's 27 by the record of the slave trafficker. See, I'm believing it's time we start getting our languaging right. When, okay, All right. Okay, look. So she's 27, and it describes her. But look, I always want to do the, I want to do some of the math with this, you know, just do the arithmetic. So in 1849, $100 now is the equivalent of just over $4,000. Because I want to remind us that when you follow the money, you can usually understand the situation a little better. So I know she wasn't worth nothing being shiftless and lazy and all that, and with the brain damage and everything. But somebody was going to pay $4,000 just to get her back. I'm just saying, yeah. I'm just saying. I'm not trying to start nothing. I'm just saying. Just saying. So in 1861... when the Civil War began, she worked for the Union Army, first as a cook and a nurse. See, so now she's about 41. In 1863, she became the first woman to lead an armed expedition in the war. When I say fearless, I'm not playing. I'm just not making up adjectives to use for her, to describe her. She is leading an armed expedition in the war, credited with liberating more than 700 enslaved people. After the Civil War, she moved to property, what, that she had purchased in 1859. So she's checking off all the boxes with what? We've never done it like this before. We can learn something if we're willing. If not, it's just a story. If not, we just have a figure and a painting and we can take selfies with it, and it's nothing more than that. But if we choose to absorb this in a personal way, if we choose to say possibly, let have an intention to ignite the Harriet in me, to set that as an intention. My intention is to ignite the Harriet in me. Yes? She was involved in the suffrage movement, fighting not only for rights of women, but minorities, the disabled, and the eight. Of course she was. Susan B. Anthony introduced Harriet Tubman in 1904 at a meeting of the National American Women's Suffrage Association in New York. Our matron saint passed on March 10th, which is why we celebrate now on March 10th, because that's the clear date that we have. She passed on March 10th, 1913. So that was 111 years ago. And she was either, not, depending upon when she was actually born, either 90 or 91 when she passed. But there was so much living. So much living. And it feels like, and no excuses. No excuses on why not to live. Why not to be. Like, I can't be because, you know, I got that brain injury. And, you know, who wouldn't excuse you for that? Well, you know, I'm only 5 feet tall. How am I going to, that's right. How are you going to wade in the water and all that? You can't do that. You know, we're set up to not accept the infinite possibility being offered us. So look, Ernest Holmes wrote a piece that I feel like he wrote it for Mother Harriet. So we're just going to imagine that Ernest Holmes wrote this specifically while thinking about, he anticipated that one day one of his ministers, way down the line, would be talking about Harriet Tubman, who lived so many of the principles that he talked and brought together as a movement. And so he wrote this with me in mind and Mother Harriet. He wrote, "Love gleams through the mist. Through the mist of human fear, love gleams and points the way to freedom. I now decree and declare that I am free from all sense of bondage. I am made perfect and whole through knowledge of the real life within me. No illusions can enter my thought. I know that there is one power, and I know that this power now protects me from all harm. As perfect love casts out all fear, so my fear flees before the knowledge of truth. I am not afraid. Say that with me. I am not afraid. Now in the old church, they didn't sing, "I am not afraid." They sang instead, "I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord until I die." One more time, okay? Can we do that again, please?
I will trust
to sing with us this whole time. Amen. Sing with us. We can speed it up a little bit. Come on.
Turn me around.
marching on to freedom. We got to sing this. And gonna let no despair.
We stand for oneness.
Ain't gonna let separation
keep on walking, keep on talking, marching on to freedom.
Ain't gonna let no struggle. Forget it. Amen. Okay, y'all. Yeah. I got you. All right. Keep playing a little bit.
Thank you, Heart Song. Thank you, Valerie Joy. Thank you, Tammy Hall. Thank you, Sonia Trejo. Thank you, Heart and Soul. Yes, I will trust in the Lord. Now, y'all, here's an important note. For our purposes, Lord is law. Think about how it's used. The Lord of the manor sets the law. What the Lord of the manor says goes. So we're... It's languaged in a way around individuals and roles, and then we are using it more universally. I will trust in the law till I die, which means that regardless of who's in the White House, regardless of who was elected last week or next year, regardless of any of the things I often consider to run my life and determine how I'm going to feel about my living, I will trust in the law. That makes it very clear when I study. This is why we offer some classes, so that we can be clear about what is the law. What is it that we're talking about that is constant and never changing? because most of what we encounter in our lives is always changing and keeps us ducking and dodging and trying to keep up with it. But that's not law. The law is also known as love. When you look at the basic principles, love, peace, joy, prosperity, constant, always available, the question is, see, one of the ways, Mother Harriet, that I call you in most often is when the thing looks like a thing and everybody has said it's the thing we think it is, I'm reminded that you didn't pay that thing no mind. That everything around her, all of the cues, said you a slave. And she essentially said, not today. Used to be. Not today. Catch me if you can. Reward on her head. She kept right on doing what? She kept being Harriet Tubman. She saw herself as a free woman, and she proceeded to be free. Look at here. What are we working with? That's how I've never done it. We know that when she left, she had never been free a day in her life. That is to say, free in a sense that somebody else says you're free. Oh, I need you to hear this part right here because this is multi-layered. This is a baklava moment. This is multi-layered because some of us are waiting for somebody else to say we are what we want to be. And in the absence of someone else affirming you as free, you may never claim your freedom. That's why this day is so important, because we're modeling. We're lifting up one who didn't wait for the world to say, okay, Harriet Tubman, you with your new name, girl, you free. She didn't pay none of that no mind. She just went on. She was free. And so she acted like she was. And in my mind, she must have literally become invisible to the folks looking for her. I mean, that's just the way I tell it to me. Because how? Whew, so many things. Oh, Lord, Lord, Lord. So look, remember, we're affirming. And this to me so fits this notion of ain't gonna let nothing and nobody turn me around. That's, you got to put your shoulders back for that, don't you? You got to stand up to stand in that power, that awareness. But look, we already affirmed. I release my need to figure it out. And I invite inner guidance to lead me into new, and I add blessed, territory. I invite inner guidance to lead me, because I'm not going to try to figure this out. I'm not going to try to figure out what way to go. I'm not going to be checking all the GPS apps possible. I'm going to trust inner guidance, yes? So look, this is important because Matthew 24 and 6 offers that you will hear of wars and rumors of war. Yes, you're going to hear some stuff. You're going to get some. Look at here. Right here is where I need you. Some of y'all are going to get the news probably while you're here. You're going to get a text. War, conflict, mess. Can I just say it that way? Somebody already got the text. I heard the beep. Some mess. Some of y'all going in the car on the way home tomorrow by the end of the week. I need you to remember this. I told you, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Translation, that you don't trip. See to it that you don't trip. See to it that you don't lose your core knowing. because you get the beep and the whatever the information. See to it. It's your job to make certain you stay centered. Now, how you going to do that? For some, it's, you know, to go to prayer. And sometimes, come on, tell the truth, you can't even get to prayer. So this is why you need a practitioner on speed dial. This is why you got your prayer partner, your practitioner. Something you see, you start practicing before you need it. So you can't wait till you sweating and crying at the curb to try to then start calling people to get a number of somebody who knows somebody. You want to get your hookup ready while you're sane and can discern where you want to go and how you want to go. Who's going to be the one for me when I need it? But you got to work that out before you need it. Y'all know you don't start looking for no doctor after you sick. Because you're not in your right mind to choose. Now, if that's where you find yourself, you do what you have to do. But in your right mind is when you want to make some choices. Before you lay out in fetal position. I hope this is making sense. Because look. Ooh. Okay, so look. You want to make sure you're not tripping. Even though you're going to get the text or the email or somebody going to call you with whatever it is. You just make sure you don't trip. Remember, I told you it was coming. Such things must happen. It's going to unfold. But the end to it, you don't have to live in it, is what it's saying. It's not going to be like that all the time. Not always. Not always. So look, Mother Harriet was a freedom seeker, underground railroad conductor, abolitionist, suffragist, and human rights activist. She is one of the most lauded, recognized, and revered figures in American history. She was also an expert hunter, lumberjack, and field worker. I told you those jobs she had. So she didn't come here sliding through. She could do it and knew she could do it. See, there's something, look at here. There is something that somebody is charged with doing right now that you don't want to do. And you might have already set an intention, I'm not doing this. What I want you to know is that may be your saving grace. That may be the fact that you would have that on the resume of your heart. Do you know what I mean by that? I don't mean the one you print out and send to people. I mean the one where you know you went through that. The one where you like, what, you, that happened to me and I lived to tell it? Shoot. It gives you something. You know you lived through it. You rose above it. That's the resume of your heart. So there's something that you might want to just go ahead and do it. So you can know you did it and did not spend a decade trying not to do it. Ask me how I know. Lord. So look, I need to tell you, Frederick Douglass said about Harriet Tubman, accepting John Brown of sacred memory, I know of no one who has willingly encountered more perils and hardships to serve our enslaved people than Harriet Tubman. John Brown, who conferred with General Tubman about his plans to raid Harper's Ferry, because he knew she knew something, once said that she was, quote, one of the bravest persons on this continent. Now look, there are those opportunities for us to be upset and get pushed all out of shape. Some of us know that back in 2016, there was a design completed by the Mint, by the U.S. Treasury Department, with the intention of placing Harriet Tubman on the front of the $20 bill and having Andrew Jackson on the back of the $20 bill. And that this is, what you see on the screen, was the approved design at the time. However, there was a change in administration, and in 2019, it was announced that the design of the note would be delayed for technical reasons. But didn't I already tell you you'd get word of something? I'm just testing you. This is a pop quiz right here. Because this ain't nothing. Somebody is already thinking, well, good, they got the design ready. All we got to do is do our inner work. Because sometimes we have made our inner work being mad at people, being upset about it, creating ulcers and high blood pressure. Our inner work is ruining our lives as we react to stuff. See, this is just a little quick pop quiz. Because can you imagine? It's not like the money you spend in now don't work. The 20s you got now, they work, don't they? And so we would like that change. But what are we doing towards it happening? So the scale is, we doing a lot energetically in our upset around it. And leaving the work of moving it forward to who? Who you think is doing that? If it matters to you, it's up to us to put our energy in that. I know we've never done that before. Some of us, but some of us have. Some of us are drawing from the times that we did some stuff with segregation. Some of us got some birthdays. And we remember how things were then. And we knew that our marching and our boycotting made a difference. And our letter writing campaigns and our galvanizing our energy and being present for things made a difference. I'm not saying that that's what you need to do, but I'm saying you better do something if you intend to have it be so. Who you think working on your behalf? I'm just looking for somebody to tell me. We must work in our own behalf. Tell them, Mother Harriet, you got work to do. If we want this thing to happen, then we must get some skin in the game. Now, that skin in the game may be prayer. You may start your little morning prayer circle that you have, which you and your prayer partner, whosoever. Y'all could start with a little Mother Harriet on the 20. I kind of like the way that sounds, Mother Harriet on the 20. That could be part of the little chant, Mother Harriet on the 20. Shoot. Mother Harriet on the 20. That's a little podcast right there, Mother Harriet on the 20. Yes. I'm just saying. But we got to do, and sometimes just speaking it out and out claiming it. Mother Harriet on the 20. Come on now. We're going to put some energy toward that, but only if it matters to you. But whatever it is that matters to you, where you put your attention expands. So look, Ernest Holmes says, we cannot be good students of science of mind and be filled with fear and confusion. We must keep ourselves in a state of equilibrium, in a state of poise and peace and confidence. And I know we can't always be there, but you better leave yourself some breadcrumbs. Whenever you're there, in that state of equilibrium where you can see what's right and what's good, put yourself, get some breadcrumbs, put some tape on the floor, do something. Because you're going to want to find your way. This don't make sense to nobody but me. Because look, what you can know for sure is you're not going to be there all the time. So when the stuff falls through, you'll be like, where my tape? Where my way? How am I, Dorothy? Where my silver slippers? My red slipper, whatever it is. The new one, you know, has silver slippers. The old one had the red. Y'all don't do theater. Y'all not the, this is not my whole tribe right here. Because my whole tribe would have the theater folks in it too. Okay. So the old whiz had the red slippers. The new whiz has the silver slippers. I'm going to need y'all to keep up. So look, the idea here is that we want to get back to this place of a state of spiritual understanding, spiritual unfoldment, spiritual allowance. The prayer of St. Francis fits so beautifully here. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Let me not seek so much to be loved as to be loving. Make me an instrument of your peace. Heart Song will now share this with you.
Of your peace, of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Let me not seek so much to be loved.
We receive, and it's from our knowing that we demonstrate. I know there is one mind, the mind of God, in which all of us live, move, and have our being. I know there is a divine pattern in all humanity, and within this pattern, there is infinite harmony and peace, cooperation, unity, mutual acceptance, and helpfulness. I know that there is, that our human mind, being one with the mind of God, discovers the method, the way, and the best means to increase the flow of divine love between individuals and nations, so that harmony, peace, cooperation, unity, mutual acceptance, and helpfulness is experienced by all. I know and encourage a free interchange of ideas, of cultures, of spiritual concepts, of ethics, of educational systems and scientific discoveries, for all good belongs to all of us.
Yes.
I know that since divine mind created all of us, we are all forever bound together in one infinite and perfect unity. and calling forth peace everywhere for everyone, I know that all people and all nations remain individual and unified for the common purpose of promoting peace, happiness, acceptance, harmony, and prosperity. I know that deep within each and every one of us, the divine pattern of perfect peace is already implanted. I know and declare that in each of us and in thought leaders everywhere, this divine pattern of perfect peace moves us into action and form, such that all nations and all people, all of us, each and every one of us, live together in peace, harmony, and prosperity forever and ever. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace.
A praise party on giving and receiving right now.